Good morning, folks. Welcome back. 8:34 on the David Medeiros Show. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, David. Glad to be here.
Bruce, you were one of the very first guests I had on the show when I started just over 2 years ago, and I never forgot that conversation we had and the common sense approach that you brought to this issue. Now, you live in Texas, and you are at the sort of epicenter of this newest wave of immigration. My big question for you to start is, how did this happen? Why all of a sudden now?
Well, why all of a sudden now, I think, is very clear. But there's two or three factors on it. The basic simplest answer is because now the people in Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador firmly believe, and with much justification, that if they get their kids across the border into the United States, they'll be allowed to stay.
Why do they believe that?
They believe that because in fact it's true. In fact, it's true. We've got now hundreds of thousands of them in this country, and the surge has been going on for 2 years, and almost none have been deported. Fewer than 1,000 of these youngsters, for instance, in all of fiscal 2013, were deported back to their native countries. So they have good reason for believing this. The reason that that's occurring, and maybe the surge began, is because in 2012, President Obama issued an executive order that we would no longer enforce our border against juveniles. No juvenile coming across the border would be deported. Now, that executive order did not apply to anybody who came across the border after 2008. But, of course, people who read it or hear about it in Central America don't hear that part of it.
Yeah, that's kind of a little nuanced for somebody in Central America who's getting it third hand. This was accompanied by, I think, a Rose Garden dream speech, right?
Indeed it was. Indeed it was. And news media report sound bites, and I can imagine the sound bites in Central America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so this is a self-induced crisis, and it actually didn't start just this January. It started 2 years ago when Obama set this up. Is there any culpability from the Republicans who were pushing for quote-unquote immigration reform, which we know what they really mean is amnesty?
Well, I think that there's considerable culpability because when the media is full of reports about pushing for immigration reform that includes amnesty, there is that apparent legitimacy given to the idea that at the end of the road, something's going to happen to indeed let them all stay here and become legal residents of the United States. The other part of the culpability, and I don't know whether culpability is the right term, is that all of the talk about the various special interests and groups about wanting to get something through on immigration has resulted in nothing being passed on immigration reform. And nothing being passed means continue the status quo, because the status quo is we're not going to enforce our laws. We are not going to have any significant level of deportations, especially involving these kids.
Folks, I'm talking to Bruce Thornton. His book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work, was written several years ago, and it remains, in my opinion, the most cogent, thoughtful approach to this issue, because it looks at this whole issue from the standpoint of, hey, what makes America work? What's good for America first? Professor Thornton, those of us who are sort of standing athwart this this rush and saying, wait a minute, we don't want any immigration reform until we have confidence that it can be executed effectively, because that's a big part, as you just pointed out, of our problem. Are we on the right side, or are we missing something?
I don't think you're missing something. The people who I talk with and things that I've done in my studies indicate that we have to start with understanding what national interests are as regards immigration. And as I pointed out in my book, the principles that countries with successful immigration policies have had always include the same three things. They clearly define the national interest they're supporting with immigration. They pass clear, unambiguous laws to support those interests and enforce them. And they assimilate immigrants rapidly as possible into their general population and culture. We're failing in all of those steps, and the failure in all of those steps leads to things like this current surge of young people across our southern border.
Indeed, and this has really nothing to do with them in particular. They're just responding to the cues that they've been given and behaving in a way that is perfectly rational from their perspective. So this has nothing to do with where they're coming from or what their background is. It's simply a question of what's in America's best interest. What are you seeing on the ground there in Texas, and who's doing the best work on this? Who should we look to for leadership?
Well, on the ground in Texas is chaos at the border. We have the vast majority of the border agents are now operating 50, 60, 70 miles behind the border, taking care of this mass of children who are coming across the border. The security at the border is much, much, much reduced. And Governor Perry, in his very brief conversation with President Obama yesterday, reiterated the idea that we can send the National Guard to the border like tomorrow, if the president would simply authorize it and replace those Border Patrol agents to re-secure the border against all the bad guys, the drug peddlers and so forth, who are coming in pretty freely right now. And the pictures and the visuals of these kids are just heart-rendering, as of course they would be. They need taken care of. The reports indicate that a significant percentage of them are not healthy people. They're bringing with them the diseases and afflictions that they've carried or picked up across Mexico or had from the time they left Central America. And of course, our immigration laws are supposed to protect us from those kinds of things. Then they're being bussed all over the country. We've read about the things of buses in California. We've read about busloads going elsewhere, but all over the country means up north, Chicago, Detroit, even up into the Northeast, to detention centers where outsiders, unless you happen to be a Democrat, are not allowed in. So ministers can't go to these places to help these kids or do them. They're denied entrance. Our lawmakers, if they're Republicans, are not allowed in. It is a very dismal looking situation, and it will remain that way until we do two or three key things fast to change it.
Folks, it's Bruce Thatcher. His book, Immigration: How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work, is, in my opinion, the definitive work on our public policy. You mentioned Governor Perry and the National Guard. Doesn't the governor have the authority to activate the National Guard simply to protect Texas borders? Forget U.S. borders?
He does have, he can activate the National Guard. Texas has already spent $500 million of its own money sending personnel to the border to try to protect it. He has not activated the Texas National Guard, and I don't know for sure why that is, other than perhaps money. But it's likely that for a surge at the border, it would take guard units from elsewhere, other states as well, not just Texas.
Folks, it's Bruce Thatcher. The book is Immigration: How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce, your website is History Speaks Today, and you talk compellingly about how we can learn from history. What does history tell us about what will happen if we stay on our current path?
Well, here are some of the scenarios. First, you have to realize that our immigration law allows any person legally in the United States to bring in their relatives, their close relatives, without limitation.
That's sometimes called chain migration?
It's called chain migration. So that every immigrant who comes to this country is going to ultimately statistically result in three or four or five others coming in who don't have to meet any criteria whatsoever except to pass the minimum health kinds of things. They don't have to speak the language. They don't have to be educated to any particular level. Mm-hmm. They're just allowed to come here. Our current immigration, legal immigration numbers of over a million a year, more than half of that are people who are these so-called close relative family members who are not regulated by any kinds of quota or criteria except that they are family members. What we're going to see is if we allow millions more to come in as a result of illegal immigration and then get amnesty and stay here, we're going to see their relatives coming in. We're going to see a lowering of the overall achievement and educational level of our immigrant population with its resulting impacts on our own infrastructure, education, welfare, and social services, and so forth.
So this is only the first wave, and we're going to see, you know, like Pennsylvania, for instance, is burdened with a budget that is, they're having difficulty balancing. The governor of Pennsylvania is going to come out today. He's having a fight with the Republican Senate and House over the budget. A third of our budget goes to welfare. A third of it goes to education. And you're saying that this chain is going to push, the current flood is going to push over the next 10, 20 years, is going to push our education costs up and our social service costs up.
The Center for Immigration Studies had a recent study they issued a report on that shows that, and it just relates to these Central American immigrants, and it shows that 57% of the households headed by immigrants from these three countries make use of welfare programs in the areas where they live. 65% of them are below the poverty level, and 54% of them have not graduated from high school. And these aren't just youth. These are adults and youth. Those things, all of those, put tremendous burdens on our own system. And we want to take care of the people mm-hmm. who are in this country. Mm-hmm. But there are limits. Mm-hmm. We can't do a good job if we're overwhelmed.
Yeah, our compassion tells us to reach out and help, but our brains tell us that there are limits to our capacity.
Exactly right. And we're hurting our own people as we allow this to continue without some sort of plan or control.
Folks, it's Bruce Thatcher, the book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. If you want to immerse yourself in some sanity in these insane times, I highly recommend the book. Bruce, thank you so much for coming on the program. Always a great pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure.
Folks, the website History Speaks Today has other books by Bruce Thatcher, and I think you're not going to read and hear clearer thinking on this issue anywhere, and I hope you avail yourselves of that. Folks,